Will you not listen? Why won't you listen? God has spoken love to us. Why will you not listen? Is not he who formed the ear worth the time it takes to hear? Listen as he speaks through living parables that must be heard. Parables that must be heard.
This summer we've been spending our time in the parables of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In fact, I'm going to work on a variation of that subtitle this week, thanks to George and Nina. They gave me some ears. So I think now it's he who has ears, let him eat. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. That'll be good. Well, if you are a fan of country music, you may remember this song.
I want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one. Oh, my, me, my, what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. I like talking about you, you, usually, but occasionally, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me.
That was Toby Keith's 11 number one song, and he wants to talk about me. And you know, he was a little before his time, because not long after that is when the social media craze began, and people began talking about themselves a lot. You know, they had to tell you what they were doing. They had to tell you why they were doing it and how they were doing it. And afterwards, they'd send you pictures to show how they felt after they'd done it. But everybody's got to know all about me. And you know, people who live by that mantra are probably going to relate to one of the characters in our parable today. I'm going to call the parable that we're going to look at today A Tale of Two Men. Our scripture reading today comes from Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 842. We're going to be reading verses 10 to 13, but we will continue reading, so I encourage you to leave your Bibles open there. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 10. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer, 'I thank you, God, that I am not like everyone else, for I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of my income.' But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, 'Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner.'" It's Jesus' tale of two men. These men had a lot in common. Now, some of you might think, "Now, wait a minute, David, what does a Pharisee have in common with a tax collector?" Well, I'll tell you. First of all, both men came to worship. They came to the temple. Jesus says both men prayed. They both had things to share on their heart to their heavenly Father. And both men went home. So you see, they did have a lot in common. But they also had some things that differentiated one from the other. Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's begin with the Pharisee. Now, the Pharisee were a sect of Jews who followed God's law religiously. In the country western fair, they would be the guys with the white hats. They're the good guys. And all of the people of the Jews kind of looked up to them because they were super religious. Every time the temple was open, they were there. Every time that they had an opportunity to gather with God's people, they would be there. They were so dedicated that they memorized the Torah. Now, the Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They memorized it. They didn't have personal copies to have at home, so they memorized it so they could take God's word with them wherever they went. They also followed the Talmud, which explained how to obey the Torah. As a part of their tradition, they'd even developed a bunch of extra rules to follow to make sure that they obeyed God's laws. But these guys literally lived by the book. Now, this Pharisee, when he comes into the temple, Jesus says, he stood by himself in the crowd. Now, think about that statement. He's in a crowd, but he stood by himself. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to be seen, and he wanted to be heard. And he prayed this prayer aloud so that everyone around him in the crowd could hear. Now, it was not uncommon during that time period for people who were praying to God to look to the heavens and to speak out loud. Today, we have a different idea of prayer as bowing our head, but for the Jews, looking to heaven was often the way that they prayed. But this man prayed aloud because he wanted everybody to hear. His prayer contained eight I statements detailing his impressive religious resume. That's why I say he could probably sing that Toby Keith song, because he wanted to talk about me. He not only wanted God to hear his prayer, he wanted everyone else to hear it too, so they'd know what a righteous guy he was. Jesus had many encounters with the Pharisees, and early in his ministry, this account in Mark 7, verses 1 to 8, shows you a little bit about what happened. It says, one day some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They actually wanted to come and talk to him. But they noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. And then in parentheses, Mark writes this: the Jews, and especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they poured water over their cupped hands as required by their ancient traditions. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. But it is one of many traditions they have clung to, such as their ceremonial washing of cups and pitchers in kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony. Jesus replied, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. You ignore God's law and simply substitute your own tradition. Wow, pretty stinging indictment. Now let's contrast the Pharisee with the tax collector. Tax collectors were considered bad guys. If they'd have been wearing cowboy hats, he would have had the black hat on. They were bad guys. Why? Because they worked for the Romans to collect taxes on their own people. That's how the Romans collected taxes. If they would have had somebody from Rome come to town, they wouldn't know what assets people have. They wouldn't know how to charge taxes. So they hired locals because they knew who had money and how they could get it from them. So they were traitors to their own people, and they often became filthy rich at the expense of taxing their own people. They were considered traitors and sinners against God and his people. So that's kind of the backstory on the tax collectors. But it says here in this parable that this tax collector stood at a distance from the crowd at the temple. He didn't want to get too close to people because he probably wasn't welcome there. He dared not even look up to heaven like the Pharisee did, but he looked down and he beat his chest in sorrow. And he prayed to God, not detailing his impressive religious resume, but asking for God's mercy. Let's see how the parable ends here in verse 14. Jesus, after he tells this story, says, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So you see, both men went home, but the Pharisee went home unchanged. He came to worship God, but who was he really worshiping? Himself. He was religious and he was proud of it. That's how he came walking into the temple. That's how he went home. However, the tax collector went home, Jesus said, forgiven and justified. He was right with God now after this act of humility, and he was thankful for it. He recognized what God had done for him. Look why Jesus told this story. Verse 9, Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. How do we get to that point where we have such confidence in our own righteousness and scorn everyone else? Well, I think sometimes it becomes a comparison game. Have you ever heard somebody say, trying to justify their behavior, "Well, I've never done anything really bad. I never killed anybody. I never robbed a bank." And we get into this comparison game. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." When I was a young man growing up and I read that phrase, poor in spirit, I didn't really understand what it meant. It's an unusual phrase. But you might remember a little earlier in this series, we talked a little more about it. The poor in spirit are those who recognize their spiritual bankruptcy. They recognize their desperate need for the mercy and the grace of God. The Pharisee did not have this attitude of being poor in spirit. He was confident in his own righteousness. But the tax collector, on the other hand, he was poor in spirit. There's an account in the Old Testament where the prophet Isaiah has this vision, and he's caught up to heaven, and he sees things in heaven, and he sees the Lord. And I want you to see what happened when he realized what was really going on. In Isaiah 6:5, he says, "Woe to me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." He knew he couldn't stand in the presence of the Lord. King David, when he wrote his Psalm of Repentance, Psalm 51, verse 5, he cries out, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins." See, David knew there wasn't anything he could do to make up for what he did, and he threw himself on the mercy of God. You see, people who trust in their own good works for salvation are really trusting themselves and not Jesus. People who trust in their own good works for salvation can never have any assurance of salvation. People who trust in their own works for salvation feel they must diminish others so they look better by comparison. And that's what Jesus illustrated in this parable. The Pharisee was so prideful and self-righteous in the way he wanted God to see it and everybody else was he compared himself to somebody else who didn't live to the standard. But I think the Lord also wants us to understand this, that people who trust in God's grace for salvation, they know salvation is not based on their own righteousness, but on Jesus' righteousness. People who trust in God's grace for salvation understand that salvation isn't a contest. It's not a comparison. It's a gift. It's a gift that you receive from Jesus when you accept Him. And people who trust in God's grace for salvation, they actually want to share this good news with others. So I have a few questions for you today based on this parable. My first question is this: why did you come to worship today? Did you come out of duty or obligation? Did somebody make you come? Did you come because you have to or because you want to? Second question, what's the attitude of your heart as you worship and pray today? Is it full of I statements? Look at me, God. Look what I've done. Or are you focused on what He's done that has saved you and allowed you to experience His mercy and His grace? And maybe most importantly, question 3, How will you go home today? Will you go home feeling justified because of who you are and what you've done? Or are you going to go home today with the mercy and grace that you've received from Jesus? It's an amazing parable. I want you to take your bulletin out for a minute and look at the service. The songs are in the blueprint. And I don't know if you ever see how sometimes the music connects with the message, but I just want you to see this. We started out singing, "This is our God. This is who He is. He loves us. He saves us. And He gives us blessed assurance. We can know that we have salvation through Christ, and that's why it's so sweet to trust in Jesus. But you know, we need Him every hour. Amen? But His grace is greater than our sin. And if we are humble enough to confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us of unrighteousness. And that's why I can come just as I am, broken but ready to be healed, hurting and ready to experience His mercy and grace. And that's why this is the day to receive this message, because we have a Savior who lives." A few years later in the book of Acts, we meet a man named Saul, who actually was a Pharisee. And just like the man in this parable, he was very proud of his religious resume. However, in Acts chapter 9, he has an encounter with Jesus that changed his perspective and changed his life. And he wrote about this change in the letter to the Philippians in chapter 3, verses 5 to 11. And look what he says as he begins to detail his religious resume. "I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault." Doesn't that sound just like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable? He wants to talk about me. Look at all those I statements in there. And then things change. Here's Paul's change of perspective. "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead." Wow, what a change of perspective. What a change in the direction of his life. So my challenge for you today is this. If you have never humbled yourself before the Lord and received His mercy and grace, what are you waiting for? The Bible's clear. All of us are sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, no, not one. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord, we have the opportunity to receive His mercy, to receive forgiveness, and to ultimately be justified by what Christ has done. So if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus and received His grace, mercy, and forgiveness, I'd love to have that conversation with you after service. But many of you here today already follow Jesus. And I want to encourage you, don't get caught up in the comparison game. Instead, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, thank you so much for this amazing parable of Jesus, a tale of two men who went to the temple to pray. Father, help us not to be like the Pharisee, who was so self-righteous and self-confident in all the things that he was doing that he would be found right with you. Help us to have the attitude of the tax collector, a heart full of humility, the recognition that we are sinners, and the willingness to ask for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?